Hey, guys.
There's 12 people in the chat already.
Yes, there are.
Hey, Sean Sorrentino.
Mr. North Carolina himself.
And my mom.
Yep, your mom's there. I asked her if she was going to call in, and she said she didn't know.
Mom!
Oh, Jay.
Mom! Mom!
Get back over next to the router.
No more car. Really?
Go next to the router.
Are you just giving me crap?
No, I'm not.
Because I have no idea. I sound great. My mom says I'm cool. My mom says I'm cool. All right. Well, we'll go.
I forget the topics for tonight.
Did we have topics?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Executive privilege. Most transparent administration ever.
I know. Yes. Isn't that ridiculous? All right. Hang on. Let's
do the music.
And now, it's time for the Squirrel Report, Thursday, June 21st, 2012. Ooh, I get goosebumps every time I do that.
You're easy.
I know.
Today is the first day of summer, everybody.
Yes, it is.
Jay, I want to ask you.
And the longest day of the year.
No, that was yesterday. But
yes?
Jay, I want to ask you, because you're a Yankee. Right?
No.
Yeah, well, you
are. I'm not a Yankee. My people came here like 100 years or 80 years, 70 years after the Civil War.
You are such a Yankee.
My people came here like in 1922, so...
Yeah, you got us. You got us beat.
I have you beat. Anyway, you grew up in the North.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to ask you: do you have like I call it the Yankee summer anxiety disorder?
No.
Okay, for the past couple weeks, and it today technically is the first day of summer. For the past couple weeks, I've been feeling like, oh my God, it's summer already, and it's flying by, and it's going to be snowing soon, and oh my gosh, you know, I have so much to do during the summer. Do you ever get that feeling?
Yeah, I call it every day.
Every day. Yeah, it's going to be snowing like tomorrow. Oh my God.
Okay. All right. Fair point. Fair point.
You do get that.
It's summer, and right after summer's fall, and then right after fall is when it starts snowing. We got to gather wood. Must gather wood. Chop wood. Cut wood.
Yeah. Yes, I totally get that feeling. I've been having that feeling since mid-May. I swear to God. It's ridiculous.
And say again, which month is it? Is the only one that it hasn't snowed in Ohio?
I think it was August.
Yeah.
Or July. But there's only one month out of the whole year that it hasn't snowed in Ohio. Which is kind of sad.
Was it two winters ago? We were colder than Alaska for like the entire winter.
I thought last winter was pretty damn cold too for y'all.
It might have been last winter even. But I remember seeing the news report where they were showing the temperatures in Alaska and they were showing Boston.
Yeah.
And we were lower consistently.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, there's our global warming. and people have been totally misinterpreting my Facebook postings. I like the heat. I'm perfectly happy.
I'm pretty happy too.
It's just two things happen when it gets hot. First of all, the weather forecasters and the news, they go into like the reverse winter. Oh my God, snowmageddon. We're getting a billion feet of snow. We are never going to go out. We're all going to starve to death in the cold, in the dark. Go buy milk, eggs, and bread.
Right.
They do the opposite in the summer. Oh my God, it's a heat wave. We're all going to die. Check on Grandma. Work at your air conditioner. We're going to die.
Check on Grandma. Yeah. Mom, like, how are you doing? Are you cold? My mom has ice. My mom has air conditioning.
Your mom is a smart woman.
I don't have air conditioning. I'm sitting here sweating I don't have balls to sweat off. But if I did have them, I would sweat them off.
You'd be rolling around on the floor right now. I'm actually in the one room in the house that it's at the very end of the air conditioning system, so.
You poor puddin'.
No, I'm doing it intentionally. It's warm. I'm not freezing. Well, that's the number. My My office at work is at the very start of the air conditioning, so I might as well hang sides of beef on the wall. It's so cold. Like, I'm in my office with a portable heater going and a fleece on in July, and people are walking by going, what the hell is wrong with you? And then they walk into my office, and they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't. I can't relate to that.
Yeah, Alan lives in a place where there's like four seasons, right? There's summer and deer season.
I forget who it was that posted that on Jay's Facebook thing. It was like it was somebody from Texas, and it was like, yeah, almost summer, still summer, and deer season. Those are the four seasons here. And deer season, usually at the start of deer season in November, it's too warm still to go get a deer. So, yeah, we run the air conditioning in December frequently here.
Oh.
Frequently.
Whatever.
So, anyway.
Good evening, everybody. Yeah. Welcome to the Squirrel Report. We're talking about stuff tonight.
Stuff.
I don't know.
Stuff.
Yeah, we have stuff.
We've got stuff to talk about. I have to refer to the blog post because I can't remember now.
I did too.
What are we talking about? Oh, the call-in topics. Because Independence Day is coming up really soon, I wanted to know, what is your favorite thing to put on the grill this summer? Like, what are you grilling out? I love recipes. I love new stuff to cook. So if you're cooking stuff and have come up with a new thing, call in and tell me about it because I'm interested. And according to the blog post, Alan actually linked to, what is it, Sebastian?
Yes.
Sebastian had an excellent blog post about the changing gun blogosphere. And I think everybody who has been paying attention to gun blogs has probably noticed what, you know, there has been a little shift in what's happening in the gun blogs. and
to a greater extent, blogs in general.
Blogs in general. Like, what's happening with the blogosphere generally? I kind of think that blogs are great. I will never knock the blogosphere. I think the blogs are great. But really, if you look at it, there's not really growth in blogs. People who read the blogs will always read blogs, and people who write blogs like to write blogs. But I don't think there's a lot of outreach, and I don't think there's a lot of, you know what I mean? There's not a lot of growth. So, and I think things are changing just in the internet generally. I mean, there's Facebook, there's Twitter, except not today. Apparently Twitter is down.
Yes.
And people are committing suicide because Twitter is down.
But, yeah, they are.
In France, right? Yeah. The entirety of France is committing suicide because Twitter is down.
But, that's a good.
You say this like it's a bad thing.
I know, but you know, there's a change in the gun blogosphere, and I think that the outreach is a little bit different because people who go online and search for information, maybe about guns or about whatever, they might find a blog post, but do they stick around and do they keep reading blogs? Well, I don't know. The whole blog thing is changing. And so if you want to call in and talk about that, definitely. Alan, announce the number, please.
It's on the chat, but it's 214-530-0036.
Thank you.
And I wouldn't know it otherwise.
Okay. So,
boy, it sure was a great idea to put that on the chat.
I know.
two call-in topics tonight.
Plus all the other topics.
Plus all the other crap we're talking about tonight. We have the tell Brady your recipe for the grilling season, and the death of the blogs thing. So, what else do we have tonight?
Well,
Guy?
Jay found us a great blog post of the.
He did. Mm-hmm.
Jay.
Yes. You mean Rob's post on swatting?
Yes.
And Rob kind of used it to tee off on the militarization of police, which I agree with this premise that the police are over-militarized. I disagree in the very, very specific case he linked that it was uncalled for. But it's a very, very minor quibble. Personally, this whole swatting thing, and this is basically where the anti-gun people will figure – they will find a way to call 911 posing as a prominent pro-gun person and say, I've just murdered my whole family. Come get me, essentially.
Yep.
So that they call out the SWAT team and it's, you know, this big issue. And, you know, Rob's point was if we didn't militarize the police to this extent, it wouldn't happen. I'm more of the opinion that this is the kind of situation where you would deploy a SWAT team, whether, you know, you're talking 1970 SWAT or 2010 SWAT.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree, they're way over-militarized. When the town next to me, the town of 5,000 people, has machine guns. They have fully automatic AR-15s.
Yeah, oh. This is where we get into the point where I say that the police should not be allowed to have anything that the citizens that they police should can't have.
Wow.
You know, if you don't allow your citizens to have machine guns, then cops, guess what? You don't get to have any either.
Cops are citizens.
That's right.
They're not army. They're not armed forces.
Yep.
I agree 1,000% on that, Alan.
I follow the Willoughby Police Department Facebook page, and they're really good about putting updates about all sorts of stuff. But recently, they put an update about the SWAT team for, I think, Lake County or... you know, I don't know, whatever SWAT team, but they put up pictures and my first reaction was, you know, I was like, oh my God, how, you know, it was like so in your face, militarized to me. It was like, you know, they're all wearing camo and they've got the helmets and they've got the jackets and I was like, oh my, okay. You know, it just seems like overkill to me.
Okay. Can I just be awful?
Okay.
But isn't it the funniest thing in the world when you see Super SWAT Ninja with the all black and the balaclava and the molly gear and the machine gun and the cops like 500 pounds?
Yes.
I want to see Officer Donut do a tactical entry because he's going to get stuck in the doorway.
Yeah. One of the Willoughby guys was seriously like a puddin'. I'm sorry. He was just like mama's little dumpling. And he was in camo and he had his gear on and he had his rifle. I was like, oh, you're so cute, you know.
Like if you fall over, you're going to roll right down the hill.
Oh, honey.
Do you want to poke his belly?
I did. Yeah. Anyway, that's supposed to be our second hour of the show. What are we talking about this hour?
Has
anybody called in? Please, somebody call in.
Topics. Our main topic. We have two main topics. Let's do the.
We have all the topics.
Yeah, let's do the one. My favorite this past week was the guy that found his daughter being molested. Basically beat the shit out of the guy. Fortunately, this happened in Texas, so there really wasn't any question about it. But you know, they wanted to do it all official like, so they threw it in front of the grand jury. The grand jury said, grand jury said, you got to be kidding me, and they no billed him. So
if there were ever a case of he needed killing,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It turns out they released the 911 call and they released the eyewitness statements and the statements of the paramedics and all that. And the guy, the molester was still alive when the guy called 911. So he was, you know, it's not like he beat him to death and you know, just sat there and just wailed on him until the guy died. He, you know, obviously he died from sustained injuries, but, you know, the guy was like... You know, it was a clear-cut case of the guy, you know, he only hit the guy until, you know, he could keep him from, you know, touching the daughter anymore. And then, you know, the daughter, you know, they found him with his pants down around his ankles and the little girl was naked and it was just really disgusting. But, you know, I think, you know,
And she was four, right?
I mean, this is particularly egregious. I mean, this wasn't, you know, a hot, you know, 13-year-old. You know, this was, like...
Yeah.
Little baby.
This is like, you know, let's get the rope, you know. I
mean, well, now we don't have to.
Yeah.
No.
You know, people are like, oh, I carry a gun so I can, you know, so I can protect my kids. I'm like, case like that, no, I would have done the same thing. I would not have had the presence of mind to draw a firearm. It would have just gone straight to hindbrain, oog, smash. And
that's what I wanted to bring that up, though, that that's one of the reasons why they even questioned whether or not they could bring charges, is because it was he didn't use a gun. Now, you know, because people have this thing where they're like, well, he was hitting him, and why didn't he stop hitting him once he was stopped being a threat? No. It's a legal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're a lawyer and you're looking at this, it's like, well, where's the line here? You know, the guy stopped being a threat after how many times did you hit him? You know what I mean? And at any time after that you hit him, is it murder at that point? Or is it, you know, manslaughter?
No, because he's already dead.
But it's an interesting point here where, you know, he was hitting him and the guy ended up dying. Where if he had used a gun and just shot the guy and the guy had died, there would have been no question.
Well, one of the stories I saw. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the stories I saw linked to in regards to this was the pharmacist in Oklahoma.
Okay.
He shot the guy robbing him, and then went back as the guy's laying on the floor and pumped two rounds into his head.
Right. That's murder.
And that's pretty much what everybody said.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like if he punched the guy, knocked him down, turned, tended to his daughter, saw the guy moving again, then started whomping on him with a bat.
Yeah
that's a little, even that's a little, well, you know, maybe he was going to try to do it again.
Right. Well.
You know, you rip off his arm and start beating him with the bloody stump. Well, maybe he's not going to, but I don't think he had a choice. I honestly don't think that the father had a choice in the matter. He started hitting, and
it also brings up an interesting question. If, you know, I don't know where the guy was hitting the other guy or what exactly happened, but if you're punching somebody in the head, it's a lethal thing.
Somebody needs to make sure that the defense in the George Zimmerman case gets a copy.
Exactly.
Yep. Exactly.
That was exactly my point.
Every time I read that report about he shot an unarmed teen, unarmed. Fuck you. The kid was wailing the crap out of them.
He was, you know what, it just came out today and I saw in the news where George Zimmerman, apparently they did a video right after it happened and he did a reenactment of the incident. And Zimmerman said that Trayvon Williams had his head in his hands and was like bashing his head against the concrete.
Yeah. That can kill you.
Head injuries are serious business.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, guess what? We have a call.
Awesome.
Yay.
Let me see if I can make this work.
Who is it?
I don't know.
What's the number?
It's area code 801.
801.
Hello, 801.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yep, I'm here.
Yay.
Hello.
Hey, this is Tango.
Tango.
Hi. Awesome. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
We're great.
We're good.
Okay, this is lagging a little bit behind the chat coming from the computer, so
yep.
I guess this is more ahead.
Yes.
So I'm not quite sure exactly where you are. Are we still on the Texas Dad?
Yes, we are. Yeah, the stream you hear on the stream and all is about 11 seconds delayed.
Yeah.
That's if you start going all ranty and swearing, we can bleep you.
No, it's not.
No, I don't go all ranty and swearing. No, but I haven't heard you guys mention anything about the 911 call or anything. Apparently, this dad called 911 and was, you know, almost cussing at him. You need to get out of here. If you don't, I'm going to put him in my effing truck and I'm going to drive him to the hospital.
Yeah, that's right, because he was still alive at the time of the 911 call.
Yeah.
Right, and then you think back and what happened in Vegas a couple of, maybe a year, maybe two ago, one punch. And there was a dead guy.
Yep, that's right.
So you combine that with the stories of people who someone's trapped under a car and they suddenly got superhuman strength where they lift a car up, and you've got a dad who just watches his daughter, you know, watching this happen to his daughter and someone's fragile skull, and it might have been one or two hits.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. I hadn't even thought of that. You're totally right.
The rage strength.
Wow.
How much adrenaline will be going through your bloodstream if that's your kid in front of you?
Absolutely.
Right.
All of it?
Yeah, exactly, all of it.
But well, I look at that, and then I think what the grand jury came back with, which is, why are we even here?
Yeah.
And I got no problems with it. That grand jury served their purpose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know,
they earned their $9 a day.
You know, taking that to the grand jury was probably a good thing, because if they didn't do it, and this is a problem I have with the Zimmerman thing. You know, taking it to the grand jury, that's like the ultimate, you know, like jury of your peers. You know, is there enough evidence here to actually proceed with a case? And if the grand jury says no, then, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, there's no reason to question that. And, you know, if they'd have done that in Zimmerman, then, you know, we probably wouldn't be having the circus we have in right now, which is why the prosecutor didn't do it, because, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Although, speaking of Zimmerman, I think that the surest indication that they know Zimmerman's innocent is that it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
That the whole case is just gone from the media's
not even talking about it.
The media's like, yeah, that was a pigeon. Forget about Miami, Florida, never heard of it.
Well, wait until October. We'll see. This is my theory.
You know,
they're waiting until October.
That could be.
They're going to drop the charges in October, and then shit will hit the fan. But that's just me. Okay, go ahead.
Because Zimmerman's now got to contend. Can save us.
Right.
Zimmerman's now got to contend with, and it's small potatoes to us, but we're not the media that's putting it out there, but he's got to contend with the new fun stuff about his finances coming down and how his wife supposedly perjured herself.
Which is a bunch of bullshit.
That's
exactly. You and I know that, but who's the one that reports on it?
Yeah.
The media and the anti-right. Oh, I'm sorry, I repeat myself. You know how that goes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Yep.
But hopefully the system works in that case and he's not going to get nailed for, you know, something like that where finances crossed the same time that he was given his testimony for his bail hearing. But who knows?
Yeah, of course, that doesn't really have anything to do with the murder charge, so.
Well, they could bring it in as proof of character. Well, if they lied about this, what are they lying about here? Mm. And I guess it all depends on that jury.
Yeah, good luck with that prosecutor in Florida that's doing this for political purposes.
Well, you know, she's using the wife to...
Yeah,
you know, put Zimmerman under pressure. Sure. So
cut a deal.
It's like
cut
blackmail.
A deal. Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah,
I think it's a combination of her trying to be politically hungry and someone else trying to be politically hungry and forcing her to take this all the way to the top. And I don't know that she wanted to. I think someone else was making her, or maybe she's just that dumb and she's really trying to push it.
Could be.
Just wait till the Holder Justice Department gets a hold of this and goes after the civil rights violation.
Yeah, right.
This is going to be great.
Oh, God.
Ooh, Angela Corey, Florida's Mike Nifong. Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she's doing.
Good comment.
I've seen a lot of those comparisons, and it's apt. It's perfectly apt.
Yeah, what was it? Dershowitz is really nailing, you know, slamming her for prosecutorial misconduct and a bunch of other shit. And he's got a lot of valid points. I mean, when the prosecutor starts hiding or not revealing to the judge exculpatory, I think I said that right, evidence.
You did. Very good.
Well, that's a disbarrable offense right there.
Absolutely, it is. Well, it happens all the time also. I mean, come on.
But when it's a high-profile case like this, everyone knows about it.
It's just stupid then. Yep.
Yep.
So.
And then, not only the stuff relating to Zimmerman, but look at the stuff she was doing with, was it Harvard? Trying to get them to
Oh, yeah.
To fire someone for what they said?
Yeah, Dershowitz. Yeah, she complained. She complained about Dershowitz slamming her for being a shitty prosecutor.
And apparently, that wasn't even the first time she did it.
No, you she's know, done it before.
We're in a nice pattern here.
Yeah, but it's okay because Dershowitz just provided proof that he was an American Indian, so they'll keep him on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just love pushing that.
Yeah.
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas. Oh, yeah. I saw my our Facebook friend Ying put a post of the great article where the Democrats are looking for, you know, who are they going to run in 2016, and they're going out asking people, and people are going, Elizabeth Warren, you know.
I'm flabbergasted.
She hadn't even won an election yet.
I'm like, what? But it really, I think the bigger issue that reveals is that it's like the failure of the media.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're... People are saying Elizabeth Warren, except do they not know her story?
Of course
I mean,
they don't.
Really? Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It's bizarre to me.
Yep.
Are they? I think everybody's getting their news from MSNBC.
They're just continuing their streak of electing people that have held absolutely no private experience whatsoever.
Yep.
Well,
she's never has never held a real job in her life, just like Barry.
Yep.
Wow.
You know, and what I love about the Mass Senate race, this is great. Scott Brown is one of the evil 1% making $600K a year. But mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren is one of the people making $1.2
million. Nice.
Funny.
Yeah. She's got a $2 million mansion in Cambridge, or, well, $2 million in Cambridge is probably a two-bedroom condo.
Right.
But she's got a $2 million residence in Cambridge.
And she's
Scott Brown's the evil rich one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, thanks for calling in, Tango.
Yeah.
No problem. I'll let you guys go. Yeah. I got to get some stuff done.
Okay. Bye.
So
yeah, I think we've beat the child molester story to death.
it's on everywhere. You know, I want to get back to the whole King Obama thing.
Yes,
which is really the big news this week.
Yes, it is huge news.
The executive privilege thing.
Yeah, actually, I think that's going to turn out to be a bigger deal than Holder Stonewalling.
I agree. And because when Obama is, there's only a certain, I think there's only two reasons you can claim executive privilege, right?
Yes.
And so Obama is claiming executive privilege in a case that he swore that he knew nothing about.
Right.
So either he was lying about that or he really is involved. Right. Either way, screwed.
Yep. Yeah, because of course, this falls under, you know, I'm not a lawyer,
right?
And apparently, neither is Obama, because everything that I've read that the actual lawyers have written say that you only get to claim executive privilege in two things. One is correspondence dealing, you know, with the executive itself,
right?
And like
matters of national security, right?
Agencies discussing things, you know, basically discussing how they are going to proceed, you know, with policy and stuff like that, that deal directly with the executive. And under no circumstances, even if it is privileged executive communication, things that deal with doing things illegal or covering up or anything like that are expressly not allowed to be covered under executive privilege.
Mm-hmm.
So communications where they, for instance, were talking about how they were going to write this memo that was blatantly false and submit to the House committee that sat there for 9 or 10 months and then got recalled because they were like, oops, we lied about that. So,
I don't know. See, you know what, we talk about this and it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. Except we talk about it and we blog about it and we're like a little insular group. We all know about it. We all talk about it, except the society at large. You say do you know what Fast and Furious is to anybody off the street? And they'll say,
what? It's a Vin Diesel movie.
It's a Vin Diesel movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem. The media is the huge, huge barrier. I don't know. It's, yep. I don't know.
Well,
I think the Democrats, and especially this administration in particular, are really aware of that.
Yep.
They have that advantage.
Oh, of course they are.
It's a huge problem.
They play it up. You know, the whole Holder thing was in the media response to Holder's, you know, Holder's claim of, well, I'm trying to work with Republicans. They're just not interested in working with me.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and if you actually look at what his thing was, his you know, quote, great deal with the Republicans was, I'm going to let you look at a few of these documents, but before I do that, you got to agree that this satisfies the entire request, and you'll never ask for anything else ever again.
And I'll get immunity.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll. Yeah.
But so, before you see it, it's the whole, we have to pass this bill. Yeah. We have to vote on this bill so we can see what's in it.
Yeah. So of course, Boehner was like, screw you. I mean, nobody in their right mind would agree to that kind of deal. And yet, you know, the media, the MSNBC story is, oh yes, those evil Republicans, they're not willing to work with the Obama administration. So now we have a case where, you know, through Obama claiming executive privilege, you know, it's you know, a lot of people are saying, you know,
yeah,
that must mean he knew something about it.
Exactly. I don't know. It's a sticky wicket.
And our call-in number is 214-530-0036. And you can express your opinion.
Call in, give me your recipes, damn it.
Yeah. That's
right. Give Brita recipes. How about Alan? Alan, what's your favorite thing to grill? We'll kick it off. How's
meat.
That?
Alan doesn't cook.
Wow.
Every recipe Alan has is from me.
Aw.
Except for bacon tots.
Yeah, I made
that. That's
right.
I invented that one.
He is the inventor.
Alan Andrews, inventor of bacon tots.
That's right, damn it.
Why are you not making a fortune from that?
I don't know.
I guess my favorite thing to cook is a nice brisket on a smoker.
That's not barbecue.
Yes, it is.
Smoker? No.
Mm-hmm. It's Texas barbecue, man. Brisket.
I suppose. All right, I'll allow it. I don't barbecue. I grill.
Oh. We grill, yeah. We grill up in the Northeast. It's
barbecue's just not. It's Southern transplants will actually barbecue, but. Yeah.
We have a smoker, but I don't know how that relates to barbecue exactly. It's like, is smoking meat the same as barbecuing?
It can be.
I tried smoking meat, but I could never get it to stay lit.
You need giant rolling papers.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me for these jokes.
And we have another call. Thank God.
Yay!
Area code 270. Hello.
Hello. Caller, we're
on the air.
Hello.
This is Roadkill.
Oh.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. How
awesome.
Are you, Roadkill? It's good to hear from you.
Yeah. Actually, I'm calling in for a recipe if you don't want to go outside and grill, but you still want something barbecue-like.
Awesome.
Cool. Those are always good because sometimes you really want a barbecue, but it's raining.
Or it's hot.
It's really hot. You don't want to stand over a grill.
Well, what I do is I pick up the country-style ribs, the boneless pork ribs.
Yes.
And throw them in the crock pot with apple cider.
Ooh.
And cook for several, you know, many hours on low. And then once I've taken them out, I actually shred them, put my favorite, a little bit of my favorite barbecue sauce on it, mix it up, wrap it in foil, and bake it.
Ooh.
And
so double, like you cook it twice, kind of.
Yeah, it does. The meat has a wonderful apple flavor, and if you eat the pork ribs directly out of the crock pot, I don't know. It's almost as if it tastes like crab.
Really?
Yes, well. it is bizarre and very, very good.
Maybe that's where Elizabeth Warren got her crab recipe.
I thought she got that like from some skanky dude.
Oh, it's passed down.
Oh, God.
It's passed down.
Oh,
totally.
Wait, I'm sorry. Wrong kind of crap. Never mind.
It sounds good.
It does sound good.
I love crock pot recipes, even in the summer.
Me too.
Because you're not heating it.
You don't have to stand there.
Yeah.
I still can't bring myself to leave the crock pot on all day. I just can't.
Why?
Because...
It will not burn your house down.
Murphy,
I swear to God, it won't.
Murphy lives. It'll find a way. It'll the crappy wiring I got in this house will fry.
No.
Nope.
The
dead mice in my crawl spaces.
Actually,
chewing on the damn wires.
To the garage.
Actually, a crock pot on low doesn't use much more power than a light bulb.
Yeah, probably.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, my mom just put in the chat, OJ.
Crock pots are great for making sides like baked beans and like barbecue baked beans, which I have a big recipe on. I'll share it in the room at some point.
Have you ever done a whole chicken in your crock pot?
Yes, I have, actually.
It works out great, doesn't it?
Hmm?
It works out great, and you don't have to heat up your oven or anything.
I've actually gone as far as to do my turkey breasts for Thanksgiving in the crock pot.
Nice.
Well, at least they don't dry out.
Yeah.
Actually, they can. Since the crock pot is just barely big enough for it, some of the edge parts of it will actually do. But the center, all the main breasts, is generally quite delicious and moist. Nice.
Well, thanks for calling in. It was good to hear from you.
Yeah, Roadkill. Thank you.
That's right. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, man.
I can't help but not be strange. I mean,
no, you can be strange. You can be strange. Don't be a stranger.
When you're strange.
Yeah.
The doors start playing.
Are you coming out of the rain?
Oh, no.
I should try to.
Well,
I like stepping on poodles.
Well, you know what? I wanted to take as long as we're talking recipes, I wanted to tell everybody about my favorite grill recipe, which is beer butt chicken on the grill, which is seriously the bomb. You buy a whole chicken. And you take all the guts out of the inside. And then you rub it with whatever spices you like. And then you shove a can of beer, well, 3/4 of a can of beer, up its butt. And you sit it on the grill like a little man. You know, it's like sitting on his little butt and it's got his wings kind of, you know. And it's covered in spices. It's really good. And then, but you have your grill and it's got 2 burners. You put it on the side where the heat is off, and on the other side, the heat is on high. So it's like, you know, it's cooking on your grill, but it's not over the direct heat. So the theory is that, you know, the can of beer is up the chicken's butt, and as it heats, it steams the chicken with the beer flavor, or I usually just put, like, water and herbs, whatever. But, it is the best, honestly, the best chicken I have ever had in my life.
I've made it. It's good.
It's amazing. And it's really easy. You just, you know, slap the spices on, shove the can up the chicken's butt, stuffed on the grill, close the lid and leave it for like at least an hour. And it's just wonderful. And for 2 people, it lasts at least 2 meals. So yummy. That's my easy recipe for the grill. Shove things up the chicken's butt. Have fun. Okay.
Yeah, unless you're the chicken.
Unless you're the chicken.
Yeah, you're beyond caring at that point.
It would be humane unless the chicken was already dead.
I highly recommend it, though.
Chicken was like that when I got here.
He wanted it.
He was dressed provocatively.
That's right.
Took his skin off, man.
Should have seen it in that skirt. Damn it.
Looking pretty cute in them jeans there, chicken.
It was weird when you need him.
I know. We're not talking about this conversation.
He would love this.
I am so warm right now. Oh, God.
He's at PortCon for anime.
What is that?
It's Japanese pseudo porn.
Yeah.
Really?
No. It's basically
just I thought it was some sort of like Japanese fishing porn. Convention. No?
What?
I don't know.
No, it's anime.
Oh, Lord.
It's a Japanese cartoon stuff.
Anime is just the Japanese word for animation.
Yeah.
All it is Japanese animation.
But usually it revolves around schoolgirls with breasts the size of medicine balls and...
Hey! Okay, go ahead.
It frequently does.
It involves a lot of stuff. It's pretty diverse, really.
Porn. Okay.
I think
There's actually gun porn now.
Yes, there is.
Gun porn?
Japanese gun porn.
I probably don't want to know.
It's you know, not like pornography like we look at like a gun magazine, you know, and the
Is it anything akin to the tentacle porn that I've seen?
No, it's not that kind of porn.
Well,
it's like when
it's like sexual. It's just gratuitous pictures of guns being used on people.
Yeah.
Oh.
So porn. You know, in the good way, in the good fashion. You know, in the violence side of things.
Interesting. I worry about the Japanese. You know, they're not reproducing anymore. And then they have this weird other thing. They're like I really think that the Japanese, God love them, they're almost like pandas.
What the hell?
That's why they're making robots.
Hello? The pandas. Pandas aren't reproducing really anymore. It's like, I don't know what's going on with the Japanese. If you read articles, they don't want to have, you know, nobody's hooking up.
Well, one of the problems with the Japanese culture that I've discovered is that they're so group orientated that they are pushed to fit in and to not exceed and to not be better. And basically that the men are very servile, and women, of course, naturally don't really care for that. But the women are more, they try to get the women, women are more aggressive now, and they're out getting jobs, they're out doing things. And I think, frankly,
damn women.
They're not interested in the men there. They would probably rather find some cool Western guy, you know, who actually would stand up and, you know, like, eat steak and beat people up. And rather
so,
than their, like,
so what you're saying is that the Japanese maybe need to get back to the samurai culture, where they have warriors and rah, you know, that whole thing.
Well, sort of.
Okay.
You know, I don't know.
I think Japan is awesome, and they, you know... But really, there's something going on there.
The Japanese own cute.
They do own cute, and they own technology, and they own robots, and all sorts of things. But, you know, they need to make more little Japanese people.
I'm sure some of them are working
maybe
on that.
Well, get to it.
Okay. Many good.
Moving on.
If I could only share with you the knowledge in my brain that the depth of their weirdness, you'd cry.
Okay, I probably would.
It's truly terrible. Live action tentacle porn exists.
Oh,
it's not real. It's all animatronics. Real girls and animatronics. It's to get around laws. It's like loophole.
So a real tentacle they can't use, but a fake one they can?
They can't show a penis in their pornography.
They have to pixelate it. That does explain a lot. Huh.
But they have no problem with the money shot.
Well, apparently not.
Okay. Anyway, moving on.
It's been great talking to you guys.
Thanks, Rocco.
Thank you. We need to move on now.
Moving on.
okay. Oh, God, it's really hot in my house. I'm sorry. I'm sweating to death.
Just you, Rita.
No, it's really hot in my house.
Okay, it really is the house.
We've got 15 minutes until Rob Allen the Great calls in.
Maybe.
The pantsless.
Yes. Hey.
His Holiness, Rob Allen.
You know, while we're having the little lag here in Allen, in topic, I saw something on Say Uncle today, and apparently there's going to be a women's concealed carry fashion show. And so I was interested, and I went to this blog, and this kind of ties into the whole death of blogs thing. First annual Women's Victory's Secret. Women's Victory's Secret. Yeah, wow, that sounds like something else I've heard.
I'm sure that Victoria's Secret is preparing the lawsuit as we speak.
Good for them. Anyway, Concealed Carry Holster Fashion Show. Educating, empowering, and enabling women to be safe and responsible firearm owners. I don't know how this fashion show will do that, but nonetheless. Oh, and they have TV's Top Shop contestants, like, showing up as famous people at this fashion show.
They're famous on the internet.
They're famous on the internet. Maybe. And so, you know, I read about this.
Who was that one that everybody hated on the first show that got kicked off or something? The little short guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was the little snake that told him out, the little rat.
Rat was the word.
Who was that? I don't remember his name.
I don't remember his name either. I'd have to go back and watch the episode.
Okay.
But, I went to this blog, which is packingpretty.com. And I'm trying to wrap my head around this blog here. I don't know if it's like, if it's a commercial blog or a real blog, because honestly, I don't see like a blogger. It says author, there's two authors on the side, Gracie and Greg, except there's not real actual like kind of meaty blogging going on. Yeah. It just seems like kind of.
It's a content farm operation. It's okay. It's just like Gun Up and all those others that are trying to cash in on other people's work.
Right. Yeah. Packingpretty.com. I think, you know, it's, I think of women like, okay, before I started being a gun owner or even a shooter, Mike pointed me to the internet and he said, hey, there's some of these blogs that you need to read. And he sent me to View from the Porch and he sent me to Cornered Cat and, you know, it changed my life. Obviously, you know, I'm here right now. Changed my life. And I think about women going on the internet and maybe searching for information about shooting. I think about them stumbling across blogs like this and they're like, what the hell is this?
Well, and that brings up a great point because if you start doing searches on stuff for guns, you find a lot of these SEO operations at the top of the list. You don't find...
Right.
You don't find the TAM and the you know, who's that guy in the who's that guy in Massachusetts that writes all those blog posts?
I don't know, some idiot.
The bald guy?
Bald guy. I don't know, he's bald and Italian.
Yeah.
Sure. But yeah.
Or Sebastian or, you know, all these others, you know, the old, sort of like old school for in internet years. You know, where you can get somewhat reliable information. And instead you get these, you know, SEO plays that are, you know, with questionable, you know, you get the truth about guns.
Truth about guns and you get Gun Mart and this Packing Pretty, whatever this is.
Yeah.
And really I think back to my experience and, you know, searching the internet for gun information. If I had stumbled across this blog first, in my search for gun chick information, I would have been like, you know, scroll, you know. There's no...
Boy, there's a lot
there's
of
no
pain.
Real meat there. There's no... Nothing personal there. And I think that is what's being lost in the blogs, is the personal. You know, it's all good to commercialize and try to make money and more power to these people trying to make money off of stuff. God love them. You know, good luck. But as far as bringing people into the fold, I don't think that's what it's about. And I think it's counterproductive for what bloggers like we have, you know, what we have tried to do. Anyway.
Well, there's, you know, okay, there's a difference in you know, it's, you know, there's a difference between somebody who starts a blog because it's a hobby, they have something they want to say, and it's their opinion, and, you know, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, but it's, you know, it's still their opinion. And, you know, somebody who in the last couple of years has gone, hey, you know what? There's a shitload of money you can make in blogging. I'm going to start doing that.
Only and, if you're going to do it every second of every day blog every single day.
Yeah, but you can game these things, and you can get
Jay.
You can get these people to, you know, these you know, people to feed you posts, and you can do RSS aggregation, and you can steal content from other people. And you can, if you structure it right and do it right, you can actually make some pretty good money off of, you know, Google Ads and stuff like that.
Yeah. And?
Well, you know, and if that's your goal, then you're, you know, I mean.
Yeah. If that's your goal.
Well, it's just like, you know, it's just like the old, you know, remember the old gun magazine? Well, you probably don't remember the old gun magazines, but it used to be the old gun magazines. That were like every gun was the best thing ever.
Oh,
I have never read a gun magazine my entire life because, you know what? Boring.
Well, yeah, but before blogs and before the internet, if you wanted to learn something about guns, that was really the only thing you had.
Okay.
You know, you had Guns and Ammo, what Shooting Illustrated, and you had all these other, you know, you had these other, you know, gun rags and every review is like formula, you know. It's like, oh yeah, we got the latest, you know, whatever. And oh man, this thing's great.
Alan, you owned a Desert Eagle. You shut up now.
Well, yeah, but you know why? There's, you know why? Because I bought it in 1985 or 86, and you know, I didn't know any better. I was reading, you know, the gun magazine told me it was the greatest fucking thing ever.
You would have read about what a raging, pulsating ball of suck and fail.
That's right. See? I didn't know. And you know what? After I fired it a few times and realized what a piece of shit it was, I traded it for something else.
Traded for something more reliable, like a Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Alan, Rob is the 813 caller.
Oh, okay. There he is.
Excellent. Hey.
And we have Church's Chicken on the line.
What?
Can I take your order, please?
That's what the caller ID says. It says Church's Chicken. I'm not sure.
Does it really?
Yeah, it does.
That's funny.
Did you want the extra crispy breasts?
why, yes.
Oh, good evening.
Hey, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Good to be on Vicious Squirrel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, first off, let me say how happy we are that IMAC's doing better.
Yes.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
We were all worried.
We were. You know, Rob, I got to say that your little girl is so cute. She looks like she's a cartoon. I mean, she's cute. She's super cute.
It's a defense mechanism.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. She's just adorable. And I'm glad she's doing better. Did you ever find out what was wrong? Some sort of mysterious...
Whatever it was, they claimed influenza B at some point after five failed flu tests. Uh-huh. Whatever it was attacking her bone marrow.
Oh.
Her neutrophil counts dropped to, you know, normal is 1,500. Hers dropped to about 100.
Oh, wow.
They just waited it out, though, to see if, you know, it's basically like a cold. She'll get over it. But they just wanted to, you know, at 100, anything else would have been,
right,
you know.
Well, yeah.
Scarily fatal. So they just wanted to watch her. She rebounded just like you would from any other virus. And
like
then,
kids do.
Okay. Like,
kids do.
Like it never happened.
Yeah, 2 days later, she's like, you know, bouncing around the walls, you know. Yeah,
you know, that's what they told us was going to be the worst thing in the hospital, is that she was just her counts will be low, but she'll be feeling fine and she'll be stir crazy.
Yep.
And the IV was in her right hand and it was all packaged up.
Oh,
so all the
no.
crayons and BS and everything we brought were worthless. So she watched TV all day. Since we don't have cable, it was like a treat to her. It's like a hospital vacation.
Woohoo! A spa.
Well,
with really crappy food.
Good news, anyway.
Hey, kids like Jell-O.
Excellent.
Yes.
that's crusty brand imitation Jell-O.
Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what was it? I think it was Shasta Cola.
Oh, no.
Mm.
And I haven't had Shasta in years, and now I remember why.
Did she get the banana popsicles? All I remember from the hospital is banana popsicles.
Ugh. All right.
I still don't know how anybody could screw up ginger ale.
Well, Shasta can, you know. There's a reason it's cheap.
It's a plastic can.
So, anyway, we picked your swatting post because we thought it was awesome.
You know what? We need to I know everybody probably knows Rob Allen.
Yes.
Sharpasmarble.com. You had an excellent blog post on the swatting
it's
issue.
Blog.RobAllen.com. Sharp as a marble is.
Okay. Just Google it, people. I don't know.
There's a link to it on the Squirrel Report blog.
Here. I just throw a link in chat,
okay,
too.
Good.
There
yeah.
You know, I might as well bring it up so that I can, you know.
Yeah. See what the hell it was you wrote 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I wrote that.
I remember that.
Okay. Let's give Rob a segue here.
A segue? What's that?
Okay. Spotting. Go ahead. Okay.
Take it away, Rob.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me segue myself.
Yes, do that.
Unlike the inventor who segued himself over the cliff. Granted, I will admit, I was not as clear. I kind of conflated two concepts together in one post, which I write most of my posts while I'm at work, like, you know, one paragraph at a time while I'm compiling, then I come back. So sometimes thoughts tend to get melded together. But primarily, you know, the swatting thing, there were a couple of conservative commenters, bloggers, who somebody, you know, took their phone number, made it look like their phone number from their house, called the police from that number and said, hey, I just, you know, murdered my family. And, of course, the police came in full gear, ready to go. They didn't, you know, they were locked out and didn't get their doors kicked in, but they were, you know, thrown against the wall, cuffed, everybody in the house, you know, basically, you know, SWAT raid on the house.
Right.
And that just kind of brought up the whole thing that, you know, that wouldn't happen if we didn't have SWAT teams in Mayberry. I mean,
yep.
Every little tiny town now has SWAT teams, SWAT. Now, the thing is, that's special weapons and tactics, and that requires lots and lots of training. My father's
and
a cop.
And lots of money.
You, hey, well, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they always have lots of everybody else's money. But I can tell you, I mean, my father has to beg for training. He's a cop, and he'll take anything they give, and he goes and looks for it. But if not, you know, you show up to the range twice a year, you qualify, you go home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the department. Yeah. As long as you don't shoot the instructor, you pass. If you do, then they just make you take it again. But as we continually move on from taking less and less responsibility for ourselves and placing it in the hands of others, whether it be for healthcare, whether it be for you know, charity, or in this case for policing. And today's police are the standing army that the founding fathers warned us against.
Yep.
You're not worried about the, you know, the military. When we talk about the Marines or the Army or the Navy, or, I mean, if you even want to include the Air Force, you can. But they're I mean, Alan, the, you know, chiseling the stone was still probably wet when you were in the boot camp.
Oh,
but
God.
It was a major thing. They told us, you know, we do not attack the United States, you know, and the Marines.
Well, yeah.
If the commandant of the Marine Corps comes and tells you to go take Los Angeles, you tell him to take his, you know, 4 stars and shove them up his ass.
Right.
That's just, that, I mean, that's what I was taught. This mm-hmm. is, you know, early 90s. That,
yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot of, you know, quote, civilians don't understand that the military is not armed in the U.S., except for, you know, except for like MPs and, you know, guards guarding, you know, particularly critical things. You know, even, you know, the guys you see standing like guard duty and stuff like that, you know, they might have a rifle, they might have a pistol, but I guarantee you there's no magazine in it. And if they do have a magazine, it's sealed up, you know, wired shut and sealed and may not be
find it out.
And may not be broken, you know, except under the most dire of emergencies, you know, and you got to account for every damn bullet. So,
right. You know. But the police are a different thing now.
Absolutely.
I mean, the founding fathers feared kings. They just got done living under it. I mean, if you think about it, when Caesar decreed a law, it was the soldiers who enforced that law with the tips of their spears.
Right.
That's how things were done. The military, you know, defended the king more than anything, you know. So to defend the country was just we got to defend the king's, you know, land.
Well, historically, fealty was sworn to the king. It wasn't, you know, there was no fealty to the people.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's what the founding fathers feared was a group or an army of people who would carry out Caesar's, you know, wishes, you know, at the tips of spears. And so that's why, I mean, the police, you know, I don't know the exact thing, but, you know, a professional police force is not not an old thing. It's a fairly new invention.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, I think, you know, from a societal standpoint, we're still trying to understand how that should work, because I agree that, you know, like I said, my dad's a cop. I want him coming home every night. I want him with the correct gear, and I want him able to take on whatever problems he's going to see, you know. But there's kind of levels here. You know, if you got somebody with playing their music too loud, you send over Officer Fife, knocks on the door, and, you know, you turn it down. You know, you got mm-hmm. domestic dispute with Bobby Jean and Billy Joe beating each other to death, and you send Officer Fife and a few buddies. You know, and even in the case
in the first case, you send Law Dog, and the second case, you send Matt G.
Yeah. And when you start hearing things, you know, like murder and stuff like that, well, bring a team. I understand that. You don't just send a single officer to go, hey, you know, some guy may have just axe murdered his entire family. You know, bring a team and someone there who is capable of assessing the situation. Starting off with the SWAT team is, you know, that's just a recipe for trouble. I mean, when I'm shooting competition, one of the things, the tricks I try to do is if I hit slide lock, my thumb is already on the release, and I'm already starting to press it. I've pre-charged that the release lever. So by the time the magazine goes in, it doesn't take hardly any more pressure, and it's gone. That's what a SWAT team is like. Their fingers are already on the trigger mentally. They're, you mm-hmm. know, a kicking down a door is not a gentle thing. There's a big difference knocking. An officer is expecting a delay and to wait. You kick down somebody's door and they're saying, well, we have to protect ourselves and, you know, we have to go in full bore. Like, well, of course they're going to shoot back if they're armed, you know.
Right.
There's no time to sit down and tell. You knock on the door, I got a chance to look out the window, put away the shotgun, the Chris, the 45, and the 10. You know, if you don't, then what do you expect me to believe? And that's a major problem right now. Our police are becoming extremely militarized. I mean, go do a Google image search for police.
Oh, yeah.
You can't tell the difference anymore. It's not, you know, officer friendly in a nice blue suit with a shiny badge.
Yeah.
It's a military garb. Heck, yep. It's more than the military gets.
Yeah, they have better equipment.
I've noticed there seems to be, like, this culture of even just visually the police go for kind of, like, this intimidating kind of profile. Like, they all in my town, the big thing is the wraparound sunglasses and the shaved heads. I'm like, what is that? You know, you're all, like, no, Jay. You know what I'm saying, though? They all – oh, and
they're trying to look like they're in the
army. Like, the pants, they're, like, the – cargo pants, but they have the boots and they tuck the pants into the boots, yes, and they have the wraparound sunglasses and they have the shaved heads, and it just seems very intimidating. It's very strange. And, you know, we're like little suburban Ohio. You know, it's very strange to me. And you know, you get, we have a church festival here, and of course the cops come and they stand around in groups and they're all dressed the same way and they all have the same shaved heads and the same sunglasses. I'm like, what are you trying to?
Because the riot's going to break out at the church.
And yeah, picnic. It's very odd to me. And it really seems that there has been a line drawn between us and them. And I think more and more police officers are kind of feeling like we're the police and you are civilians.
We are the only ones.
Yes.
Well, and the police forget they are civilians too.
They are also civilians. Right. Yes, you're no different. So, yeah.
Unless you're under the UCMJ, you're a civilian.
Right.
And it was pointed out that there's a big difference between the military and the police, because the military has rules of engagement.
That's
and
right.
They're a hell of a lot stricter
That's
than
right.
what the police are operating under.
Yep.
Now, look at what happens. You know, the military gets in a firefight, and they're on the news. They're combed over. They're raked over the coals. The cops kick in the wrong door, murder a family. Oops, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Qualified immunity. Fuck you.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, I shot your dog. Yeah.
Meanwhile, imagine what would happen if a company did that in, you know, Afghanistan, you know, busted in the wrong house and shot up an innocent family. You know,
oh yeah,
they'd be yanked back and you know, they'd be in Leavenworth breaking rocks before you could
the guy in Afghanistan that snapped and shot up the civilians.
Yeah.
He was home, court-martialed, and breaking rocks in less time than it took them to declare Captain Hassan there at Fort Sill. Mm-hmm. Was it Fort Sill? Fort Hood.
Yeah.
Fort Hood, yeah.
The guy in Afghanistan was court-martialed and jailed in less time than it took them to declare Hassan a victim of PTSD.
Well, you know, you remember the guy in Ohio who snapped.
Officer Roy Rage.
What the hell was his name? I can't remember now. But there's, you know, Officer they're still Roy working Rage. On that. But that guy.
Oh, yeah. He's still under, like, paid leave or something.
I don't even know.
Harless.
Right. But, Rob, do you think that there's a kind of a self-selective group that people... for people who go into law enforcement? And
you know, I've wondered about that because, you know, my dad was a cop when I was born. And
right.
He got out of that line, and then throughout the years, you know, he decided he went back into it. Of course, his primary job is pulling over truckers and writing them tickets for bald tires.
Okay.
Yeah, he was with the Department of Transportation. Now he's with the Sheriff's Department He's with some department.
Something. Okay, go ahead.
You know, and this may sound surprising because I get told a lot of times, like, you're just a cop hater. Like, no, I still to this day would like to be a cop.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to do it because I believe it is a truly honorable profession if you do it honorably.
Right.
I believe you're always going to have people because, you know, yes, you have some authority. You do have authority that is granted to you by the populace. And people are like, well, I'm not going to grant them authority. Yeah, you'll pull over when you see those blue lights. You just granted them authority. So we say, yes, you can do these things. We will all submit to this because we realize it is in our best interest to do so. And their job, you know, it's dangerous. So you're going to have people who are, you know, a little bit more keyed up on the danger. I mean, nobody's going to go into you're not going to be a patrol officer if you think, you know, there's not going to be any danger whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I guess there are people who could become cops who just want to be desk jockeys. I don't know about that. But so, yes, there's going to be a little self-selection of the types of personalities that are going to be in there. The meek and mild probably aren't going to be cops.
Right.
I mean, heck, and I'm not saying I would complain, but I'd love it if I ever got pulled over and a cop would, oh, hi, sir, look, I'm really sorry to you. You know, never mind.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of personality just isn't going to fit in there. But at the same time, you know, I was in the military. Alan was in the Marines as well. And you would think that there was self-selection there, too. We had the entire game, and we had people in there like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Alan laughs the laugh as somebody who's been there seeing that, done that.
Yeah, Alan knows what I mean. You're sitting in boot camp going,
yep.
This guy's not right.
Yeah.
So I can't say, you know, that there's not some self-selection bias going in there. I'm not sure, and I hear a lot of people like, it's people who just got bullied in high school and want to push people back around. I'm sure there's those people, too. I can't tell. I'm not immersed in the culture. You know, like I said, I think it's an honorable profession, but it's dangerous. And the problem is we keep hearing this thing where we need to make the cops' lives safer. No, right. We need to protect people's rights.
Yep.
If we have to make your job safer by violating people's rights, tough shit.
The flip side of that is they're always wanting to make it easier, which I'm really not interested in either.
No, and it's – well, because the same thing. With the easier comes the violation of rights.
Right.
Well, you know, if we can just, you know – if we can forget the whole warrant thing and just walk in whenever we want, then we could surprise the drug dealers too, you know. And you hear all these things like, well, take the swatting instances. Well, what do you want to do if somebody calls and they said the murder? What should they do? What they do before SWAT?
Yeah.
It used to happen. What did they do?
They rolled a patrol car or two.
Yeah, they rolled a patrol car. They, you know, assessed the situation.
Right.
You know, then they went, I'm going to need some backup.
Yeah.
You know, the ticking time, and that's what we hear a lot, you know, like, well, what if he has his wife and family hostage? Like, yeah, that's the ticking time bomb scenario that, you know.
And SWAT's going to help that how?
Huh? Right.
And, you know, I mean, they show up, they surround the place, and then they sit there, you know, I mean.
Hurry up and wait.
You know, what's the, you know, and the whole SWATing.
Why?
The whole
Virginia Tech.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Why didn't they kick down the doors? Why did they wait out there for how long was it?
Well, yeah. Because none of them wanted to go in there and go face to face with somebody to shoot them.
And maybe we don't hear, you know, and I readily admit that the media is not the best place to go find this stuff. I don't know how many SWAT teams actually go in and take out the full-on drug dealing that, you know, we see it on CSI Wyoming or whatever. You know, they're always busting into the really dangerous places. But
yeah,
I never hear about those.
They don't do that.
Busted into some grandmother who went to grab, you know, her false teeth to put in, see what was going on or something, and you shot her.
Well, you do hear about it, because when there's an armed guy or there's somebody that's actually worried that they might shoot or something like that, they surround the place and talk to them through a bullhorn. They won't bust in on somebody that they actually think will defend themselves.
Or they tell him that he just wants a flat screen TV and arrest him when he comes to pick it up.
Right. Arrest him when he shows up.
Yeah.
Which I think that is one of the great. Whoever came up with that should have gotten a damn medal.
Yep.
You know, you get them to come to you. You know, you just send them a note that says, "Congratulations, you won whatever."
Yeah.
A shiny new crack pipe. Come get it.
Step through this door and you will pick up your TV.
You will get a surprise.
If I could.
There are plenty of other ways to solve all these issues. And, you know, I don't know them all. And I'm not saying we don't need the SWAT team for each major metropolitan area and the surrounding areas. And, you know, I can't tell you the last time I heard we had a major terrorist attack here in Tampa. And, you know,
never.
But then again, I haven't been in any car accidents, but I still carry insurance. I understand that there could be a time, but at that point, it's almost not even a – I mean, your local cops just don't seem to fit in here. I don't want my local cops, you know, geared up and ready to go.
No, you don't.
They need to be officer-friendly. They need to be one with the community. You know, that line between us and them should not be there.
No, it shouldn't.
It is increasingly becoming that way. They see any person off the street, and they're immediately thinking, "What are you doing wrong?"
Right. How can I bust you today?
How can I bust you? I had this experience. I was going to work one day, and the road to work was blocked off. And I pulled kind of like into the intersection. There was a cop there, and I had my earphones in because I was talking on the telephone to someone. And I asked the policeman, I said, "What's going on? Why can't I, you know, get into work?" And he told me why. And he said, And I was just asking, I was a citizen going to the library to work, asking the policeman a simple question. And immediately he attacked me and he said, you know, those earphones aren't legal and you could get, you know, he was like attacking me for these earphones. And I was like, I'm not listening to music right now. There's nothing going on in my earphones. I was actually on the phone with a friend, you know, and, but it was like immediately he couldn't answer my question, but he immediately was looking at what I was doing wrong, you know. And it just seems like more and more they're more attuned to trying to bust people for doing things wrong than being a civil servant and helping the public.
Oh, well, it's about the revenue. Problems.
Do you know what I mean?
I
don't, frankly, you know, because I deal with the public all the time, I have kind of like a skewed view of the public as well. So it's hard for me to blame them most of the time.
The public,
you know,
has a skewed
people.
View of the private.
Pardon me?
I said I have a skewed view of the public and private. So,
see?
Know.
So it's I don't know. So it's hard to judge them for that. But still, at the same time, that's their job to kind of be... It would be nice if they were officer friendly, but really it's becoming more and more they're not. They're officer unfriendly, which I think leads to people not trusting the police.
Of course.
And leads to people not wanting to call the police when there's problems.
Right.
Not wanting to talk to the police
and then
when
the only problems
they
get
should.
Notified are the really bad ones, and then so they have to gear up. You know, it's a
exactly.
feedback system.
Yeah.
You know, and how do we fix this? Well, like most everything, it pretty much starts at home.
Yeah.
You explain to your kids, you explain to your family, and you have those uncomfortable conversations with the, you know, I've got family who, you know, politically we're all pretty much the same, but when I start saying, you know, start talking about some of the more freedom things, they're like, oh, well, we can't really just stop doing that. Like, why not? You know, it's hard. It's, you know, you don't want family gatherings to turn into fun. Well, I don't know, some of those are fun.
Well, what you have to do is and what we don't do so much in this society is look at things analytically, you know.
Oh, we're too in it for the quick fix.
Right. Well, but
we
got to look at
their hands.
Why SWAT teams exist in the first place. You know, what was the purpose for them? Do they do it? Do they do the purpose that they're supposed to, you know, and do we know if they do the purpose they're supposed to, you know, or is it just a, you know, you know, cop PR. I mean, you know, what's going on? You know, why do these, you know, and of course you're never, you know, they don't want to do that study or, you know, I mean, you know, cause you know,
and
for
you
the
have
most,
to reevaluate as you go along.
Yeah. But nobody ever does that.
So, exactly. And that was one of the things that I had put in my blog post is that you have a tendency. Here's all this great gear. Well, we got to use it.
Right. If we don't use it, we're going to lose it, or we don't get it back, or, you know.
Or we won't be able to get enough funding for – I mean, in corporate America, it works the same way. I remember that towards the end of the year, all of a sudden, we got all the new servers we wanted because we didn't need them. But we got new servers because if we didn't spend it, we didn't get the budget next year. So it's the same thing.
Yeah, they're kind of cracking down on that now.
Times
are tight. You know, you don't get to blow through your budget like you used to be able to.
Oh, yeah, true.
In regards to the swatting thing, the swatting issue.
I actually wanted to diverge onto that for a second.
Okay.
Because a lot of people don't know what this the thing behind it. It's actually happens a lot more often than you never hear about. It's been going on for about 10 years now, and it's kind of a hacker thing. It started off being a, you know, ha-ha, you know, kind of like a crank call kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the it's because the phone company doesn't really check that the number you're telling them you're calling from is actually the number you're telling them you're calling from. They just assume that anything you connect is gonna play nice. And so what the hackers learned is if you run a PBX, you can reprogram the PBX to claim to be any number you want it to be.
And like we have now.
Right. And the phone company says, okay, You're calling from that number. And so,
exactly.
And so when
kind of like if you were to call somebody, if you call somebody and said your church is fried chicken.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
So if you have a PBX and guess what? PBXs are basically free. You can run the software for that on any crappy old computer you got and do it. So what these hackers do is, and it's, people do it for a lot of other things, not just swatting. I mean, they call to, impersonate, all kinds of different people from a number, and they'll call and pretend to be somebody else. It's a, kind of an espionage-y kind of thing too. So what they started, anonymous, does sometimes, anytime you get these little hacker groups, they'll have some enemy or something and they'll call, we'll call the cops on you and they'll do this swatting thing. Well, it got to be, really big, recently, with this, these couple of incidents that have happened. Who was it? The big one that was
Brett Kimberlin or
yeah, that one. The felon.
I think it was Paterko and
Paterko. That's right. Yeah.
It was a little bit of irony because he supports SWAT raids.
Right.
Huh.
But well,
he may be rethinking that.
Yeah, he might be. It's like people talk about suicide by cop.
Right.
This is like murder by cop.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. It is. It is absolutely. When you SWAT, that is attempted murder.
Sure.
Possibly completed.
Yep.
Anything could happen. Yes. They said that this Paterko guy, when the SWAT team arrived at his house, he had like a cell phone in his hand.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but police have been known to mistake things in your hand for a gun.
Yep. Wallets.
Wallets.
What? Was that his name?
Or people like me. Guns.
Or nothing at all.
Yeah. Well, if somebody kicks in my door, I'm assuming that it's a dynamic robbery.
Right.
Because I'm a law-abiding dude.
That's exactly right. You're a law-abiding citizen. Why the hell would the cops be busting down your door?
Exactly. Didn't they just pass that law in Indiana?
Yeah, the you can shoot cops law.
No,
but that's how the media is. Oh my God!
Yeah.
It's legal to shoot cops in Indiana. Yes, if they're kicking down your door illegally, yes, it is.
But serving a dynamic entry warrant on the wrong address is not illegal.
That's one of those. Pretty much everybody's fucked in that case.
Exactly.
Because if the guy that's having his door kicked in grabs his AR or a shotgun, you could wind up with a dead cop or two before they take him down.
Right.
And then only later on do you realize, oh, shit, it was the wrong house. Our bad. Sorry about that.
And guess what? The guy who defended himself against the cops is fucked whether he lives or not.
Yeah, whether he makes it or not.
Right.
Whether he's one of those guys that the cops fire. What was it? What was the one recently?
Oh.
They shot a guy with – they both had rifles at 15 yards and hit the guy like something like 10%.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. No.
How do you one miss guy, with a rifle?
They shot at him. They fired 33 rounds. One guy emptied a 20-round mag. The other guy shot 13 rounds.
Yeah, they hit him like two or three times.
They hit him non-fatally.
Yeah.
This is an engagement with a rifle at essentially
cops are notoriously bad shots. I mean, come on.
Well, I'll say this. I run IDPA, and as soon as that buzzer hits, my IQ drops 20 points.
That's the thing a lot of people don't understand. There's a world of difference between standing on a line and right. putting, holes in a piece of paper 20 feet away. And even the time pressure of IDPA, the first time, if y'all want to really have an eye-opening experience, go shoot an IDPA match and see what happens.
IQ drops.
Yeah, it really does. It's amazing. But the problem is the cops are not training for that kind of thing.
No, there's a difference. We always joke around about a barrel shroud and a flash suppressor doesn't make an assault rifle. It just doesn't, you know, just like putting stickers on a car doesn't make it a NASCAR track-worthy vehicle. Well, at the same time, just putting SWAT gear on a cop doesn't make them a SWAT.
Right. Right.
Although, at the same time, you have to think that do we really want cops training for that sort of thing? You know, they're not our hired killers. They're not our hired shooters. That's not, like, their main role in society.
Well, then they need to stop doing it.
Well,
they need to stop pretending it because that's exactly the point.
They need to stop dumping three magazines out of their Glock into some guy and missing 90% of the shots.
That's exactly the point. You know, you're police. You're not these, you know. I don't know.
Now back to the swatting.
Yes.
Yes.
Like you said, it is easy to spoof someone's phone number. If you have a PBX, if you have, and just, you know, a little bit of information on how phones work, you can spoof someone's phone number. And knowing this, and like you said, this has been going on for a while for various things, it behooves the police or anybody to validate, especially when, you know, something this big, validate that that's truly the issue.
Well,
and
yeah.
It's like if I swat, you know, think of this. This doesn't work. If I swat the, instead of swatting, I call the fire department and say, my house is on fire, and they show up at your house because they think that's where it is. They don't just automatically start hosing it down.
No.
They don't right. smash the windows, throw in the hose, and just put it on full blast.
No, they come in
and
check it out.
They evaluate.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm sure, you know, so that I'm not, you know, engaging in hyperbole, I'm sure that they don't do a barrel roll out of a moving car, you know, right into a formation and then directly to the door. So, you know, I'm sure it's not quite like that. But again, remember what I talked about priming the release? That's what they're doing. When you all geared up, the last thing you want to do is get all geared up, all psyched up for a battle, and get there and just have to knock on the door and have a guy go,
and then not do anything.
And then walk away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to cowboy up and then not get to unload on somebody.
Exactly. If you want an accident like that, you get married.
What?
Get all geared up. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I'm glad I missed that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know. There's two things. One is, you know, stupid phone company for having a shitty network that basically doesn't sanitize their inputs. XKCD.
My little Bobby table.
That's right. I need to get that one. And bad on the cops for, in their defense, you know, when they get a call like that, they have to do something. You know, it's not like they can, you know, just ignore it. Oh yeah, that's a, you know, that's probably a SWAT thing. We won't do anything. You know, they can't do that.
No.
There's no middle ground, though.
Well, yeah, of course
they can react to it properly.
Right.
Which, and I'm sure there's got to be levels. I mean, seriously, at that point, all right, we got to send over Officer Friendly in quite a few, you know, cars.
Well, how about using some common sense? You know, if a guy calls up and says, "I just killed my family and I'm going to kill myself," you know,
there's no need to hurry.
I mean,
they're already dead.
Right? Exactly. That's my point.
And if he kills himself, well, hell, that's less paperwork. Oh, showed up, everyone was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the thing to do, the approach to take is, just like they did with kidnapping, is you turn it over to the FBI and you let the feds handle it and you let the feds punish it. And you make the penalties so severe and so draconian, nobody's going to do it. And yeah, I know severe and draconian are the same. So,
well,
sorry,
you're talking about the swatting. You hand the swatting case over to the feds.
Yes.
Well,
and you make it so that Thor's hammer lands squarely on the head of the guy doing the swatting. And they know that word gets around. You don't hear very many kidnappings.
No, they're very, in fact, almost all kidnappings are family related.
Right. precisely. Non-family.
Non-aggravated.
Non-custodial.
Right.
Issue. Kidnappings are excruciatingly rare because they realize that this,
yep.
You know, you
somebody said, the Jack just said in the chat, it said, maybe you could, I don't know, call the guy back. yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you doing?
Genius solution.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you send, it's tough because if it really is a guy that snapped and murdered his whole family, and he wants the cops to show up so he can point a gun at them and be shot dead, whether it's his own cowardice that he can't turn the gun on himself or he thinks the cops will do a better job or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. You can't – even if it's a 1 in a million chance, you can't take that – you can't take that chance that you're going to have Officer Friendly walking in going, hey, Bill, I was – you know, we got a funny call and I just – bang! And Officer Friendly's lying full of blood because what the hell, I'm going to run up my body count. If you really do have somebody that's snapped. So there is, in my opinion, there is some rationale for the SWAT team. Because you might have somebody looking to suicide by cop.
That's true.
And not that it makes the militarization correct. And I've got a theory on why we're seeing increased militarization, but it's horribly racist. So,
well, a lot of it's because the military keeps giving police department equipment.
A lot of it has to do with the fact that a lot of the guys applying to be cops are former soldiers.
Right.
Because you get extra points on the exam.
That's true.
For being military.
You do.
And if you're not getting the affirmative action points, it's one of the ways you can get on a police force.
Yep.
There's Jay's a racist bastard.
Well, it's gaming the system. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, calling the SWAT team out. You know, I have to ask, you know, what happened before SWAT? Because, you know, people have done that for, like, forever, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What happened before SWAT was they bring the entire town's police force down. I know because it happened in my town.
Well, see, there you go.
And the guy that did that was a cop.
Well, okay.
Basically, his wife, this is a very interesting story in town lore. Basically, his wife was NFG. And he'd go off every day to be a cop and make the world better. And her drug-dealing boyfriend would come over and bang the shit out of him.
Oh, nice.
And it was one of those things that everybody knew, and he just didn't acknowledge it. It's not happening. And one day, he got a call while he was on duty. His kid was at the school. His wife never went and picked him up. And he snapped. He just snapped. He went, drove right to the house. He walked in the door, saw the two of them, shot them both dead right there, sat down, called the station and said, guys, you got to come over here. And they knew what had happened. And they showed up, and he got amped again. I'm not going to jail for this. I don't deserve to go to jail for this.
Uh-oh.
And he didn't go for his gun, but one of the responding officers, who's a friend of my dad's, he said, you know how you see in movies and TV when they hit somebody over the head with the gun and he goes down? He says, it's bullshit. I hit him so hard, I popped both the grips off my pistol, and it didn't even faze him. It took like 8 guys to take this guy down. He'd had enough.
Huh.
Yeah, but if a SWAT team existed, would it have helped?
No.
Exactly.
No. Not so much.
But maybe, now here's the other thing. If a SWAT team had existed, would it have made things worse?
Would he have lived?
Probably because exactly. He wasn't a cop.
Well, that's true. Cops take care of their own.
We got to be consistent here. He was a cop, so he did get the special treatment. And even back then, this was the early 70s.
Sure.
Even then, it was special treatment.
It's always been special. Cops have always protected their own.
Yeah. Yes and no. I think they always have, yes. But I think, too, there, you know, 50 years ago, you were a lot more likely to get called in to the chief's office and – If not just getting your ass chewed, you get smacked around. The fuck is wrong with you, smack, you know? You know, the dope slap. Came from somewhere.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, and Jay, it's late for me.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, and thanks for being our blog post of the week.
Hey, no thanks. Problem. I appreciate thanks. It.
It's nice thanks. Talking to you.
All have a great evening.
You too.
Thanks for playing video games, Rob.
All right, see ya.
Cool.
You know, we had a...
Rob Allen, folks! Isn't he great?
Yeah.
He's awesome. Rob Allen is awesome. Everybody knows
him. I forgot to ask him if he was wearing pants.
He's not. Let's just assume not.
Let's get right to it.
Yep. Let's just assume not.
And our call-in number is 214-530-0036. And I apologize, there was a couple of people that tried to call in while Rob was on, and unfortunately... He called in on the phone line, and it just doesn't work to take calls while somebody else has already called in. So if you want to call back, we'll be happy to take your call.
Yes, please call back. Tell me how racist I am.
You're a racist bastard.
I am.
You don't like Obama.
Duh, or Holder.
You're a racist.
That's it. The only reason the Republicans voted to hold him in contempt is because they're racist.
That's right.
The only reason.
Sure.
They should call
you know,
the SWAT team
we had right? we had a case talking about the SWAT team is making things worse. We had a case in a neighboring city here where some old guy was sick, quote unquote, and his wife called for EMTs, and the EMTs showed up at the house, and he was flushed, and he was passing out, and all sorts of crap going wrong with him. I don't know. But he didn't want to go to the hospital, and he did not want the EMTs in his house. And, he stressed a number of times that he did not want help. So get out of my house. And he apparently repeated himself a number of times, and the EMTs wouldn't leave. And he then said, if you don't leave my house, I'm going to get my gun. At that point, the EMTs left the house, called the police. And the police, or I think the SWAT team showed up. And the guy who was sick, nobody knew really at this point what was wrong with him. Everybody thought he was having a stroke or whatever. He went out, and the SWAT team was in the street at this point, and the guy went out of his house, and he had his shotgun. And they shot him dead in his own driveway.
Solved the problem of his medical issue.
Yeah, solved the problem. Turns out he was a drunk. He was like, shit-faced. Ooh. And he was drunk in his house, and his wife, he's passing out, and he was all, high blood pressure or whatever, but he didn't want the EMTs in his house, and he threatened them, and then they called the SWAT team, and the SWAT team showed up and shot him dead in his own driveway. There's an issue there where, like, would this have happened had the SWAT team not shown up?
Well, they would have called the cops. I think it would have happened anyway, because even if you call your local PD, and you get, Officer Bill and Ted show up.
Okay.
And the guy comes out with a shotgun in his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody who's threatened to kill people comes out and points a gun at me. Right. I'm going to shoot him.
Right.
And, I mean, there's a lot of ifs. I mean, if he was holding it in one hand, not pointing it, saying, "You get off my lawn," and they just open fire, that's one thing. If he comes running out of the house with it raised to his shoulder, pointed at the car, that's another thing entirely. So there are unknowns.
But it was kind of like this big thing in our community where everybody was like, "Well, do we need a SWAT team showing up at people's houses?" It was like this. And everybody was, like, all freaked out, like, oh, my God, there's this little suburban side street. And we're, like, middle class, kind of lower middle class. And it's, like, you've got SWAT team down on your block. I mean, really? And then they're shooting people in their driveways. I mean, it just was, like, this huge, like, wow. Overkill.
Seems like an overreaction.
Yeah, huge. I don't know.
Unquestionable. I mean, like I said, my biggest thing is knowing that the town next to mine, it is a sleepy little town. There's like one gas station, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
And they have machine guns.
That's crazy.
To me. The thing is they get money from the government and they have to spend it.
Right. And if they don't spend it, they don't get it next year.
The thing that pisses me off and the reason I say it's crazy is because they won't let their citizens have some machine guns.
Of course not.
If the people could have machine guns, I wouldn't have any problem with the cops having it.
Mm-hmm. I agree there. The flip side to that is, hell, I don't blame them.
If you could have one, you'd have one.
Hell yeah. You know? But actually, I'm sorry. The point I wanted to make there is the cops aren't the one making machine guns illegal.
Right.
And
however,
they're dang sure supporting it, though.
Okay, so the federal government are the ones making machine guns illegal, correct? However, the federal government is also giving police departments the money to buy machine guns. So where's the problem there?
Well, it's in several different places.
Yeah, there's breakdowns all along the way.
Right.
First of all, there should be a pressing need to own or to be equipping your officers with anything more than a service revolver and maybe a shotgun.
Right, but where is the militarization of the police coming from? And I think it's coming from the federal government.
Of course it is. That's where the...
So they want that standard.
The federal government, you can't have the military within the borders of the United States, although they can militarize the police.
Right.
Right, because that's not...
Problematic.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
That's why I go back to I don't think the cops should be allowed to have any kind of weapons that they don't let the civilians of that locality have.
Well,
you know, if your state doesn't allow you to have assault rifles, then guess what, cops? You don't get to have them either.
Absolutely. There should be no exemptions for law enforcement anywhere.
Because they're civilians. If you don't let your people have machine guns, then you don't get to have them either.
See, I'll go you one better. The military shouldn't have any weapons.
The police always use the excuse of, the gangbangers and the criminals all have rifles, and they all have blah, blah, blah. So we need to have them, too. Which, if you think about it, the police themselves are saying, hey, these gun laws are worth jack shit, really.
Yep. Yeah, if the cops need these machine guns to defend themselves against gangbangers, then what do the people need?
Right.
Right.
Right. Those gangbangers all of a sudden become harmless little kittens when you're talking about the people that live next door to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy down in Baltimore, Inner Harbor, who says, you know what, I'm surrounded by gangbangers. I would like a permit to carry.
Yeah, and they like, nope.
Denied. Yeah. The cops are going to go serve a warrant. They're going to get bulletproof vests, armored cars, and machine guns.
Right. Just to drive down the street.
What's the problem there, folks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you start saying you are better than the rest of these people, you create that mindset that says, guess what? That thin blue line ain't a line anymore, folks. It's a big fucking wall.
Yep.
And you're on one side, and all of those unclean fuckers are on the other side.
Yep.
Well, that's nice and depressing.
Yay!
I'm gonna go clean some of my guns now.
Almost wished I'd save the uplifting dead child molester story for the last.
You know, we can talk about it some more. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we kind of, like I said, we beat that one to death.
If you want to feel better, Alan, living in Texas and all, we can contrast the dead child molester with the guy in Massachusetts who was arrested for punching the guy that grabbed his kid.
What is this, England?
Yeah. Oh, that was years ago. But that's where the infamous line "we discourage self-help" comes from.
Yep,
that's the Massachusetts Attorney General Marcia Coakley.
I remember that
Martha Coakley, but I'm using Patches Kennedy came to stump for it. Oh, but I'm happy to stump for my friend Marcia Coakley. Anyway. Yeah, he got her name wrong. Yep, that was pretty funny. But yeah, basically, dad sends his kid into the bathroom, And, you know.
At a library?
5 minutes. No, it was at a market basket.
I was going to say.
Could have been a library.
And there's a hobo. No. Mm-hmm. And basically, he's like waiting and waiting, and the kid doesn't come out. He goes in, and he's looking, and the 70-something-year-old illegal alien janitor was grabbing the kid's upper thigh.
Uh-oh.
Dad took offense and punched the guy, knocked him out cold. Called the cops. They came, saw what happened, and arrested him for assault. Oh.
Yep.
Terrible.
Yep, that's Massachusetts, folks.
That's like England, where like if you put
kid,
if that's like England, if the guy trying to like break into your house and steal your stuff cuts himself on the broken glass of your window, like he can sue you.
Right, you're liable
because he hurt himself on your broken window while breaking into your house. Yeah. So good luck, Massachusetts, and JG.
Yeah. Well,
yep.
We're almost out.
I wanted everybody to know that I did not have the crazy fan sound this week.
Yeah,
I can hear it right now.
Yeah, but it's not as loud. That's because your mic's working right.
No, it's because I'm using my phone instead of the computer.
Oh, okay.
Ah, you're staying away from before things explode.
Well, the phone worked pretty good.
Okay, I'm sitting away from the computer.
Did you have anything in particular you wanted to talk about?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing happening.
Nothing.
Nothing. I'm getting a new leg.
Woo-hoo! Yes. Yes, you are.
Is it going to have little hidden compartments for extra magazines and stuff?
I don't really think
useful?
So. No. I don't think so.
Wouldn't that be useful though if you had like a little slot?
I would probably keep other stuff in there, not a magazine. I'm sorry.
Or like you know what you need is like the blade that shoots out of the foot.
Oh. I'd have to take my shoe off.
No, you wear open-toed shoes.
Oh.
I'm always.
You're a genius.
I am.
No, today I had my first appointment to on the, I don't know, to see if I can get a new leg. Woohoo! Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't had a new leg in a long time, and there's all this new technology that, you know, is awesome. So soon I'll be like the bionic woman, and I can, you know, leap. It's like, what's the gadget guy?
Gadget?
Yeah, Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget. That's going to be me.
Inspector Brita?
It's going to be awesome.
You push a button Brita and your legs extend up so you can reach the high shelf.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be cool. We'll see what happens, but I have good hopeful feelings about
it. One of those robot ankles that goes ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
I can't have a loud leg because I work in a library.
I need
a quiet leg.
It would have to have a built-in shusher.
Shusher.
The built-in shusher.
The shusher leg.
Now see, I can tell you, the kids would all want the little Heely leg.
Oh, yeah.
The what? Yes,
the Heely leg with the wheels, with the roller skate built in.
They have sneakers called Heelys that have a little roller skate in the back.
Yep.
And if you lean back, you can, like, roller skate around.
Yeah. Or your legs shoot out from underneath you and you fall on your ass.
Oh.
Yeah, well, there's that, too.
Okay.
So you could, like, have one permanently built into your legs. You could just kind of, like, you know, lift your other leg up and just kind of scoot around.
Yeah.
Like mess people up too.
Yeah. No, I'm really hoping just for like, you know, a leg where I can wear like those flip-flop sandals. Big deal, people. Big freaking deal. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my news.
Yay.
Woohoo. What are we doing next week? Anybody know?
What's next week?
Next June 28th.
Oh yeah.
Squirrel report.
Well, I'm sure we'll be doing something.
We'll come up with a topic.
I'm sure Obama will do something wrong that we can talk about.
Awesome.
Joe Biden will say something stupid.
That's right. Oh yeah.
Apparently,
yelling.
Joe Biden has like he's been having like Howard Dean moments.
Yes,
he's, like he's yelling at people. Yelling and he's getting all like fired up and yeah. I have a hard time like getting mad at Joe Biden because he's just like an idiot. He's really funny.
Just like.
Well, he is an idiot.
You can eliminate the like.
Yeah, he's like you know, he's like that drunk uncle at
that always says the wrong thing.
He says the wrong thing, and everybody kind of laughs and like you know nods their head and kind of walks away. They tolerate stupid Uncle Joe.
Yeah, Matt St. Jack made a good point. Probably we'll have a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare next week.
Oh no, that should be interesting.
Yep.
Thanks, Ronan.
Yeah, they're gonna punt it back to the states.
Well, fine. We can pass the bill and then find out what it is.
Pass the bill and then we'll find out what's in it.
Mm-hmm. It worked out really well. Anyway, we've got 10 minutes left. Thanks everybody for participating.
Or we could just quit now.
I think we should quit now because I'm tired and I'm done sweating for the day.
I'm kind of done too.
It's really hot in my house still. So
I think we quit
unless
now.
Somebody wants to call in.
Yeah.
No.
I'm
going to bed. The cat knocked over the table.
Yeah, I heard that.
I gotta go.
Okay. I guess we're done.
We're done. Good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
And we stopped the broadcast.
Yay!
Why won't it let me hang up?
Oop, I guess that was it.
Yeah, I guess it did let her.
It did let her hang up.